welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today our text is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, which says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." This is a great promise from the Word of God that God will answer our prayers, that God will meet our needs, that God will help us through the difficult times in life. And basically, the God is looking over each and every one of us, and he's trying to help us by guiding and directing us to live a holy life, but also opening doors and watching over and protecting and caring for us each day. What a great blessing it is to commune with our Heavenly Father, to thank him for all his blessings and benefits, but also to ask him for the things that we need. And he's a loving, good God who cares for us and will meet our needs. And we can always trust him to do the right thing for us each day. What a blessing it is to be a child of God in this day and age. This is Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go, sharing again a report from one of our couples who are just months away from reaching their full support. So they will be released to move and live full-time in the mission field of Sierra Leone. They start their report with a thank you to everyone whose generosity, prayers, and advice helped us have a recent successful trip to Sierra Leone. We made good contacts in Bo and Mokanji. We spent most of our time in Mokanji and met with other Mission Go missionaries and staff. God is already doing great work there through education, a health clinic, mentoring programs for young men and women, rural pastor training, well digging, building projects, agriculture projects, evangelism, and local churches. Bill, a man with a Protestant work ethic and jack of all trades understanding of maintenance and repair, leads the team. He is creating a beautiful and hospitable space, and the Lord is blessing him by filling it with teachers, nurses, pastors, farmers, gardeners, and trade workers. His wife, Beth, oversaw the secondary school and was a favorite of Belinda, our daughter. Another missionary lady named Heather has served for 6 years. She helps at the medical clinic and runs a mentoring program for young men. Her husband, Michael, recently joined the Mission Go staff. He is exploring evangelism opportunities around Mokanji and in Bo. Pastor Fide oversees the Mission Church and co-leads the Rural Pastor Training Program. A young Canadian missionary, Jesse, engages with young adults through soccer and agriculture. A national leader, Mr. Hubbard, brings decades of knowledge and experience to the mission. He leads weekday Bible studies and is a leader advisor in the community and the local church. My wife, Ami, and I were encouraged as we got to know the team and learn about their current ministries. When we join them in the fall, we are excited to see how As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs 7:17. We see opportunities for us to use our experience, knowledge, and personalities to help the ministry grow. There is also much we can learn from the team to help us grow. When we return, we anticipate seeing the kingdom of God, which is already at work, grow in Mukanji, its surrounding villages, and Bo. We anticipate that much fruit will be harvested through Mission Go's ministry in Mukanji. Please continue as partners in the harvest through your prayers, encouragement, and generosity, that the fruit may be bountiful and to your credit. Thank you for listening to this couple's story and sharing it. As the president of Mission Go, I am blessed to partner with so many fine Christian couples who have surrendered their lives to full-time service. Your prayers are critical for these individuals who are reaching out and spreading the gospel. Please stop now and pray for this couple and all those making this commitment to serving our Lord. Have a blessed day. One more special message. This month, we had an additional offering of an exclusive booklet to gain a deeper insight and an understanding of our missions work in Sierra Leone, West Africa. The impact we're making is important to kingdom building. After seeing the blessing in the mission field, learn how you can play a vital role in this transformative journey of changing lives to accept Jesus Christ. Join us in prayer united in partnership and become a beacon of hope for the people of Sierra Leone today. We can create a brighter future and build a legacy of compassion, empowerment, and the sharing of the gospel. Request your brochure today and take the first step toward the meaningful connection that will change lives forever. Together, we can make a difference. Ask for your copy of Catch a Vision, Sierra Leone, West Africa. Writing to Canada National Bible Hour. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about this international mission, if you or someone you know is interested in a career or short-term or other mission opportunities, if you would like a speaker to come to your church or present to a local group to share about the mission field and the work that is being done to build the kingdom, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Contact us, our website at missiongo.org. We look forward to connecting with you and exploring the world of international missions together. Remember, your journey starts with a single step. Reach out today. Go on mission with Mission Go. This is Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go, an international mission sending agency. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported broadcast. This month we offer Stress to the Max Peace for Women Under Pressure by Joni Erickson Tada. Does it seem like your to-do list always gets longer instead of shorter? Do you try to slow down but find yourself scrambling to keep up? Stress is unavoidable, but it often seems you have more than your fair share. You can't continue at this pace forever, but there doesn't seem to be a way out. With characteristic understanding and compassion, Joni Erickson Tada helps you begin to slow down and sort through the sources of your stress. She offers the spiritual refreshment of Christ's loving presence and words of encouragement, along with practical, empowering suggestions for exchanging a stressful lifestyle for a life of rest. This program would not be on the air without your support and prayers. Thank you again. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning. Printed copies are available upon request.
We turn our attention again today to what the infallible scriptures tell us about our roots, where we came from, how it came about, and what the circumstances were when mankind came on the world scene. I have no apology for asking you to examine and believe the Genesis record of the origin of this earth and of mankind. I remind you that Jesus Christ, the all-knowledgeable Son of God, put his stamp of divine acceptance and confirmation on the Genesis account of the roots from whence we came. Repeatedly during his earthly ministry, Christ quoted from the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament written by Moses, to prove points he had made. He gave his writings precisely the same weight of accuracy as his own sayings. When the religious leaders of his day refused to believe him, even while pretending confidence in Moses, Christ said, "Had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Certainly this is telling us plainly that those who reject the writings of Moses cannot consistently claim to believe what Jesus Christ said. Those who reject the truthfulness of what he said must of necessity reject his deity, for if he was God, as he said, he could not lie. I repeat, Christ put his stamp of confirmation on the Genesis record of man's creation when he said, "Had he not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." He was quoting Moses' account of creation, recorded in Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2:24. There are those who mistakenly think it is a hallmark of intellectual sophistication to reject the Genesis record of creation, but it is nothing of the kind. There's nothing sophisticated or clever about contradicting the Son of God and holding yourself up as someone superior to him in wisdom and knowledge. His knowledge was and is the knowledge and foreknowledge of God. His words were the words of God, for as the scriptures say, "He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Come back now to where we left off in our examination of what the scriptures tell us about our origin and that of the earth. We've already learned that eons ago, God, who always was, created the heaven and the earth. He did not bring them into being by a long, drawn-out process of evolution, but, as the psalm, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." He also created a host of spirit beings called angels to be his ministering spirits. Later, Lucifer, the greatest of the spirit beings, rebelled against his creator and attempted to usurp the throne of God. As a result, the judgment of God fell on him and on those angels who joined him in his insurrection. That judgment also brought devastation on the original earth. Lucifer and his angels were banished from God's presence and became the devil and the evil spirits of which the scriptures speak. The earth became without form and void, covered with water and ice and enveloped in perpetual darkness. It continued in that desolate state throughout the great geological ages, which scientific research have confirmed. But there came a day in the eternal plan and purpose of God when he moved to recreate the earth into a perfect home for a new race of living beings he purposed to create in his own image after his likeness. God commenced his work of recreation by issuing an explicit command. Genesis 1, 3-5 reads, "And God said, Let there be light, and there was light." And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The light God created on that first memorable day was not light produced by the sun. Genesis 1:14-19 makes clear that he did not bring the sun into existence until the fourth day of the week of recreation. The sun is not the origin of light, but rather a light reflector. We all are familiar with certain sources of light unrelated to the sun. The aurora borealis, or northern lights, is an example. So is phosphorus, and the lowly firefly, and some species of deep-sea fish. When scientists discuss light, they talk about the corpuscular theory and the undulatory or wave theory or the electromagnetic theory and so on. All these theories are interesting, but the fact is light in many respects remains a mystery, which is understandable when we remember that it had its origin in that command that fell from the lips of God himself on the first day of the earth's recreation when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The light God created has many amazing characteristics. Every element known to physics, which can be made incandescent, emits a ray of light peculiar to itself, which makes spectroscopic analysis possible. The course of light can be directed and altered, for example, by a prism or mirror. Light travels at the tremendous speed of 186,000 miles per second and can pass through a physical substance such as glass without affecting its speed or destroying the substance. Three things about the mystery of light are stated in the Genesis record. First, God saw the light that it was good. There is no such thing as impure light. Light is good in that it makes life possible. Neither human nor animal nor plant life could survive without it. It makes all else visible. It makes learning and instruction possible. It provides protection. It may be transformed into both energy and sound. Its ultraviolet rays possess healing qualities. Yes, light is good. Two, God divided the light from the darkness. There is in that statement more than a mere distinction between day and night. It may be said that darkness is invisible light, and light is darkness made visible. The scope of that visibility to the human eye is measured by what we refer to as the spectrum. At one end of the spectrum, light waves strike the eye as red, while at the other end of the spectrum, they strike the eye as blue. Light waves are responsible for the marvel of color. Different objects reject or reflect back different light waves, and these appear as different colors to the human eye. When the frequency of light waves falls below those which we see as red, they're classified as infrared. Infrared rays are invisible, but nevertheless they are light. That's why a camera with infrared film can take pictures in apparent darkness. When the frequencies drop lower still, we call them sound waves, and we hear them instead of seeing them. You know, the Bible speaks of the music of the stars. I don't know what that means, but perhaps when we receive our resurrection bodies, our ears will be tuned to hear the music of light. We will enjoy the symphony of the heavens which no mortal ear has ever heard. At the upper end of the spectrum, where the frequencies are too high for us to see, we have ultraviolet rays and X-rays which are invisible to the human eye, but still are light. All this should help us realize that when God divided the light from the darkness, it involved much more than a mere distinction between day and night. It also gives significance to such passages of Scripture as 1 John 1 and 5, which reads, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." 3. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The important distinction God thereby established on the first day of Genesis applies to every sphere of life. In the physical realm, just about everything is geared to the two distinct periods which mark each rotation of the earth once every 24 hours. Each rotation accords each and every region of the earth a period of light, which we call day, and a period of darkness, which we call night. Almost every physical aspect of our existence is geared to those two periods of time. We do our work in the day when there is light, and we rest at night when there is darkness. Most wild animals operate on a reverse schedule. They seek their food at night under the cover of darkness and rest in their dens during the daylight hours. The same principle of light and darkness applies to the mind. We speak of minds being enveloped in the darkness of ignorance, or of enlightened minds whose darkness has been dispelled by the light of truth. The same is true in the spiritual realm. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter refers to Christians in 1 Peter 2:9 as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, who should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is what happens when the Bible calls spiritual regeneration takes place, when an individual opens his or her life to Jesus Christ, receives him as a personal Savior, and is spiritually reborn by the Holy Spirit of God. It is the spiritual life that floods into a sinner's soul when he recognizes and believes that Jesus Christ died for him and his sins on the cross, that enables him to say, in the words of the well-known old hymn, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Darkness and light. The great aftermath of what God did on the first day of Genesis when he said, let there be light, and there was light, and God divided the light from the darkness. You whose roots go back to that time when God brought light into being, live now either in spiritual light or spiritual darkness. Which is the correct description of your spiritual state? God does not want you to remain in the state of spiritual darkness that results from your being alienated from him by sin. He wants you to have the light of life. Christ died for you and for your sins that you might be forgiven and restored to eternal fellowship with God. And know in your daily experience the realism of your restoration. Those who someday will face eternal condemnation will do so not because they couldn't escape the consequences of their sins, but because they wouldn't accept the deliverance God purchased for them at the fearful cost of his Son's life. In John 3, beginning at verse 17, we read, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. No amount of effort or good intentions on your part can dispel the spiritual darkness or end the spiritual night that sin brought on this world and on your life. God alone can dispel that darkness by speaking to your soul the same words he spoke on the first day of Genesis when he said, let there be light. That spiritual light is available to you right now in Jesus Christ, who said when he was here, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We desire above all else that you should know that experience in your own life, and that you should know it without further delay. If you've never done so before, won't you open your heart and life to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and ask him to come in and be your personal Savior and sovereign Lord from this day on? You have that opportunity right now as our invitation hymn is sung. I urge you to commit your life to him today.
Remember to order your copy of Stress to the Max, Peace for Women Under Pressure by Joni Erickson Tada. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, Zip Code 14231. For more information about the Ministries of Mission, go visit www.missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers. Please have a blessed day. One more special message. This month, we had an additional offering of an exclusive booklet to gain a deeper insight and an understanding of our missions work in Sierra Leone, West Africa. The impact we're making is important to kingdom building. After seeing the blessing in the mission field, learn how you can play a vital role in this transformative journey of changing lives to accept Jesus Christ. Join us in prayer, united in partnership, and become a beacon of hope for the people of Sierra Leone today. We can create a brighter future and build a legacy of compassion, empowerment, and the sharing of the gospel. Request your brochure today and take the first step toward the meaningful connection that will change lives forever. Together, we can make a difference. Ask for your copy of Catch a Vision, Sierra Leone, West Africa. Writing to Canada National Bible Hour,